Logging on tonight, and also those that are here. Awesome man I love back there. His name's Mark. Let's give God a hand for Mark. Yeah. Yep. He's just moved to come out on Wednesday night, and he says, man, I got to get to the barn. I love it. You know, that's how God pulls on our heart. Got two questions tonight. Awesome questions. Number one is, if God put something on your heart, why is it so difficult to achieve it? And the other one is, what holds us back from our hope? And I think they're awesome two questions. First one I'm going to talk about. If God put something on our heart, why is it so difficult to achieve it? You know, they're both, these both questions go hand to hand, to be honest with you. And the other one is, what holds us back from our hope? If God put something on our heart, why is it so difficult to achieve it? And what holds us back from our hope? Man, I don't know which one I want to talk about first, because they're going to run into each other. Okay, if God put something on our heart, why is it so difficult to achieve it? Okay. I like how it was put, why is it so difficult to achieve it? Because that allows me to understand that the person who was asking the question realizes that their hope is going to come to pass. For one, we have to believe what is inside of us, okay? And if we have an unction or an inspiration or a desire, something of that nature, that in itself, we have to hold tight to it and never let it go. One of the things is not quite understanding your hope. A lot of times, we paint our own picture of our hope, and we don't quite, able to discern it. It could be where we have a desire to be financially independent, and we think that a certain avenue is how and which way we're going to achieve it. But one of the things that God has stated is that He will do far above our comprehension or imagination. So most of the time, we can't even imagine our hope. Even though that there's something there that we have as far as a desire, but we just can't always pinpoint it. So if God put something on our heart, why is it so difficult to achieve? For one, how do we know we're not achieving it? Hey, hold on for 1 minute. Let me take this call. Hello, one of our listeners. What's up, brother? It's Wednesday night, and we are live. Yo. Everybody says, yo, what's up? Yo. Uh-huh. How? Uh-huh. Wonderful. Awesome. Well, I'm going to just let my readers or those that are listening, the listeners that are on tonight, knowing that this was a great testimony that came in. And he's kind of like listening to our questions, and he just wants to keep on saying, yeah, go for it. All right. Well, I'll talk to you later. All right. Love you. All right. Bye-bye. Well, it was just a good testimony from one of our pastors. So I'm just very grateful. I wouldn't have picked it up if it was anyone else, but you know, I have to pick it up when it comes between me and the three, I call it, the three amigos. So if God put something on your heart, why is it so difficult to achieve it? Okay. And as I was saying, a lot of times that we don't really know, he goes far above in comprehension of understanding. And a lot of times it's difficult to achieve our hopes when we have a glimmer. Like I know, I'm going to just use myself. I know that God has a special plan for me as far as what he's going to do. He called me. He called me. He put his spirit on me. He set me on fire to declare to the world who he is. Okay? I know it. That's all I can say. I know it. How hard is it to achieve it? Maybe I'm achieving it already and don't even know it. Is it deeper? Is it bigger? How big is it supposed to be? You know, how great is it to get? My other hope laid on it is it's going to be multiple. It's going to be worldwide. It's going to be huge. But I do know this. And it rings real true to me. He's building character. And, you know, when great things come, you have to be able to be mature to handle it. And I know I need a lot of maturity. I mean, I feel as though that I got a lot of maturity. But I know that he knows I need more. And a lot of times, maturity comes through brokenness. And when he breaks us, because it's like, oh, Lord, when is it ever going to happen? You never give up hope, and you hold on to it dear in your heart because you know it's going to happen, but you got to wait. And, you know, he says, don't be anxious for nothing. So you got to just hold on to that hope and wait. It breaks you. And God loves a broken, contrite heart. And as he breaks you, you know, when you do achieve, it's like an inheritance that you receive and you worked for it. It's not like an inheritance that you received and you didn't work for it and you go squandering it away. And you don't respect it. You know, you take it for granted. And you just, it just gets blown away. You just blow it. And I think it goes along with God's love. Because if he loves you so much, he doesn't want to see you blow it. You know, he built such a desire in your heart. And he's given you such an achievement to do great things, because your hope is going to achieve great things, that he's producing a character inside of you that when you do achieve, you're not going to blow it. You're going to be able to respect and discern and be able to speak the right way and make the right decisions, and because you're going to have this reverence inside of you that you don't want to lose it. You don't want to, you know, foul up. You don't want to blow it. And so I would say that, you know, count it all things with joy when your hope or those things that you're desiring for feels like it's taking so long to achieve. As a good thing, because he's just building a better and greater character inside of you so that when you do come across to achieve it, you're not going to swandle it. You're not going to blow it. And never ever think that your hopes and your desires for when you achieve it isn't possible for you to blow it. You know, you can blow anything. You know, let's say you're desiring to meet that right person. And then you end up taking that person for granted, and you're not conscious about how you speak to that person. And then you might speak to that person with a little bit disrespect and you know, a certain tone that causes that person to just kind of say, and leave, you know? Where if you've waited for a real long time, you would judge your words and you make sure that you didn't say anything that's going to cause a problem and make that person run or leave or what have you. Let's take a business. Let's say you've been longing to achieve a business and, you know, you're going to maybe be more wisely on how you invest your income or how you're going to spend your time with your customers or things of that nature. If something was given to you and you never had to work for it, you might not look at your customers as valuable as someone who really had to earn a customer. And they may, you know, if someone that had to earn a customer may sit down and listen to that customer and find out what the problem is and not just blow the person off, but maybe change the way they're doing business for the future for other customers and things of that nature. So there's a big, large scope about, you know, how God creates character in us so that we don't, you know, swindle or blow our hopes and our desires. And I know myself, by knowing that truth, it creates a sense of patience, you know, and it also, not only does it form a sense of patience, but it also forms a sense of gratitude when you don't despise the little things. You're kind of grateful that, you know, even for, you know, tonight, I look around and I say, wow, look at, you know, everybody here. It's so wonderful. And you're not discouraged, you know. It just, you just begin to appreciate, I guess you can say, as your hopes and your desires are unfolding. And how many people are grabbing hold of this one? Amen. You know, God wants to bless us. And I know for a fact that his desire is not for him to bless us and then all of a sudden we blow the inheritance. I look at a hope as an inheritance. It's something given to us. It's something that is imparted to us. It's a guarantee. And we can blow it. Now, the second question is, what holds us back from our hope? And I guess you would say, like, what causes us to maybe lose it? Maybe give up or what have you. I would say for those that feel as though that we're being held back from our hope, don't look at it as you're being held back. Look at it as we're not coming to that place and we're taking things for granted as if we deserve it. We don't deserve anything. So even though he had planted a hope in us, an inheritance, we're carrying on and we're kind of like saying, I demand it now. And we really shouldn't have that type of attitude where we demand it now. Because when we start demanding things, that's where we get discouraged. And we feel as though that we're being neglected or not being, you know, given that opportunity to fulfill our hopes. And that's not true. You know, God wants to But he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to, I said it earlier, be broken. And we might not think that we're not broken. You know, I look at it as if we think we're broken, that's even more of an opposite sense of not being broken. You know, if I stood here and said, but I am broken, then I would have to look at myself and say, you're not broken. You know, who are you fooling? You have a lot to learn. I know I need a lot more. I need a lot more character. I'm sure I offend a lot of people out there. And in order to go to the places where I know God wants me to go, I have to have more compassion. I have to have more mercy. I have to have more love. I have to have more patience. I have to have more understanding. I mean, we're just talking about a series of love. And one of the things is the fruits of love. And the fruits of love have to manifest in our lives. Now, I can say I have all the fruits, but what level of fruit do I have? You know, if we could judge patience from 1 to 10, well, I got patience, but it's on a scale of 1. I need a number 10. I need a level of 10 patience. And that's basically where, you know, these two questions come in at. I believe God is creating character. We are working on our character, the best that we could possibly work on. If there's a deeper character that he is forming in us, so be it. We strive to be the 10. We just strive for it. And then as we continue to do the best, and every day do the best we possibly can, then we should be able to have confidence in our heart to know that we're moving forward. You know, what more can you actually say to God, and how much more can God say to you if you're doing the best that you can? So I look at that within my own heart. I say, Lord, today I'm going to pursue holiness. I'm going to go out there and do all that I could possibly do, and I can't do anything more. So I just am very grateful for what you have given me. And then, you know, you ask yourself, could there be more? I know that there's a lot of areas in my life that I'm complacent. Could I get out there and do more? Yeah. You know, could I apply myself a little bit more? Yeah. Could I reach out more? Yeah. You know? And then I look at the situation, well, I don't want to strive for my hope. I don't want to be lazy in my hope either. So I'm just going to relax, continue to say, Lord, you know the desires of my heart. And empower me by your spirit. You see? Empower me. So if there's something more that I need to do, rather than just sit back and rest, you know, if there's more that I need to do, empower me. Cause my spirit to get up and to get motivated and to put in action what you have called me to do. You see? The last thing I want to do is put guilt on myself. The last thing I want to do is put pressure on myself. The last thing I want to do is put a timetable or a time schedule in the areas of the work that God is doing in my life. You know, if there has been prophecies that's been spoken over me, and I'm holding tight to them. And some of the pastors here already know, one of them, that we would earn enough money to afford all the crusades around the world. I mean, look, some people say, oh, could that have been a true prophecy? Hey, was that from a true prophet? Or I look at it as anything spoken in my life and it sits well inside of me that, you know, maybe one day that will happen. That's prophecy, you know. I don't care who the person was, you know, or what have you. Yeah, if it bears witness, it bears witness. Is that my desire right now to go around the world? No. But at the same time, we are through the internet. We were traveling pretty extensive there. If you can see the flags behind me and around, we've been in many nations. But we're reaching nations now through the internet. And, I hope and pray that you guys find a way to get here. I don't want to travel yet. But I do know that there is a place where I'm thinking right now where I feel that God is leading us. So, it's not taken completely out of us. We have a question over here from a gentleman. What's that, sir?
Jim, I had a testimony.
Okay, what's your testimony?
You want to sit here and say it?
Yeah, because...
It's nothing real big, but I grew to AA and NA and whatever. I've been in this apartment for a year, roommates, I ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. And everything worked out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now that's a good testimony, Mark, because what I'd like to share with those that are listening is you don't give up on your hope. You see, he had, issues with his hope. His hope was for a television, and he didn't give up. After all the struggles and the things that he had to fight with, he continued to, continue to make an effort. And then God finally turned around and ended up blessing him with a bigger television and everything else. And he said he didn't even want a bigger one, But God went, and not only did he give him a TV, but he gave him a bigger TV, and it works, and everything else is good. If I can say anything, never give up on your hope. Just know that if God has put it inside of you, he put it inside of you. It's going to come to pass. You're going to get it. It's just a matter of when, okay? And if you're, being anxious to achieve your hopes, don't be anxious for nothing. There is bigger things that meets the eye. And I don't speak about it much, but we are constantly fighting spiritual battles. And the enemy, darkness, doesn't want you to achieve your hopes. And the bigger and greater your hopes are that are going to glorify God, the bigger and greater your battles are going to be. I get my hopes filled all day long. I hope I wake up tomorrow healthy. I know, But is my heart glorifying God in those areas? I think that's why I'm achieving a lot of my hopes. you know, I'm not glorifying God a lot in those areas, you know. But the hopes that I know I'm going to glorify him, the hopes that I know that I'm going to be like, I praise God because of, look, the impossible is possible, you know, because nothing's impossible for God, right? I'm going to glorify him. Well, the enemy knows that you're going to glorify him. And we're fighting spiritual battles too. So not only is he producing character in you, but there's also a spiritual battle. And our battles are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and darkness and wickedness in high places. In this ministry here, we understand that. And we not only teach you on how to have a relationship with God, to believe in what is inside of you, believe in your inspirations, I call it your anointing. Believe in your anointing and hold true to who you are. I'm a child of God and I'm anointed. And, you know, my anointing will come to pass. My anointing is going to do great works. I'm getting fired up right now. God's touching me, knowing the truth that's inside of me. You know, this anointing is going to touch many people's lives. The enemy doesn't want it out there. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when people understand this truth and they begin to change? The devil's going, no! What do you want before me? It's not my time. I understand this. And, you know, it's just not the appointed time yet. I got to just relax, not be anxious for anything, continue to, you know, thank God for what is. And this is another important key to, for you to create character in your own life. Don't be grumpy or frustrated or angry about it. Know that he's doing it. There are many, many things in the heavenlies that he's warring and fighting on your behalf. You may not see it. The door is opened. The opportunity is there. But there's a huge war over your head. And God is fighting that battle so that, you know, he goes before us and he fights the battle before us so that when we do move forward in our hope, It's easy. You know, who's tired of fighting? You know? I want, when he gives me something, I want it to be easy. I want to walk in it and everything's set up and everything's prepared and all the people are waiting for me. You know, it's like, yeah, let's go. And the heavens are opened. I don't want to fight for anything. Sometimes we can push our way through things and we can manipulate and control and all these other things by striving. I've met some people who, you know, really make efforts in getting things done in their life, you know? Yeah, but they're killing themselves. And every time they seem like they get to a point A, you know, and then they go to point B, they're smacked back down to point A. And it seems like they're always working the ladder. And with me, I want to get to point A and then go to point B and then be really happy in B and go to C and then just keep moving on. The spiritual warfare is intense, it's incredible, and it's far beyond what we can comprehend or imagine. What we need to do is take the truth that we do know and apply it. Don't act like a spoiled little baby because we're not getting our way right away. We need to start being grateful for the little things. Just be grateful. And again, he says, be grateful. Count all things for joy. Don't get upset and don't let your heart get hard because things aren't happening as quick as they want, that you want them to be. Know that He's creating character in you so that when you do obtain, you'll have the character to keep it and you won't flounder it or foul it up or lose it. If you don't think that you're going to foul it up, flounder or whatever and lose it, that's even more of a reason for you to listen to what I'm saying, because that's only telling me that you have pride and you don't have that broken, contrite heart to receive the hope and the dreams that are inside of you. Know that when you do achieve those hopes and dreams inside of you, you're going to do great works, and those great works are going to be glorifying God. So He's preparing a way for you to glorify His name. Always remember that, because what's inside of you is only to glorify Him. And that's it. Amen? I got Pastor Tim that he wants to share something, so I want to call him up. Let's give the Lord a hand for my brother Tim.
Yeah.
My man. Thanks.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm glad that the question was asked tonight about the hope. And I'm going to touch upon a little bit what Pastor Jim was speaking about, which is the battle that's over us. Back in the Old Testament, Moses had passed away, and there was a war between the archangel Michael and Satan over the body. And that was a symbolic measure to show each and every one of us that there is a battle in the heavenlies. You know, and the heavenlies are outside of us, but it's also internally. And one of the greatest assets that the devil has when we're holding on to hope is when we go through like a long suffering and we're waiting long for something to happen, he tries to allow us to have discouragement. Discouragement is what steals your hope, because it's so easily you can become ensnared by discouragement. You know, it's like, all right, I don't see something happening. But you got to remember this. There's an appointed time by God for everything. Everything, it's, the Bible even says that there was an appointed time for everything to happen in your life. There's a season for this, there's a season for that. Even in your hope, there's an appointed time for it to come to pass. And God wants us to keep renewing our mind and saying, you know what? I got to know that I know that I know that the appointed time is going to come to pass, and this hope that He's given me and established in my heart is going to come to pass. I just got to lose the discouragement, you know, and that's where faith comes in, you know, because faith and hope are like tying the knot, and that will bring about His glory. But we got to hold on to that hope and that faith, because with discouragement, it's kind of like a vicious cycle where you ever hear the scripture where it says, don't be double-minded? Well, when you're double-minded, there's a point where you have hope, and then you have discouragement. You have hope, and then you have discouragement. And eventually, God says, you know what? You're going to keep wandering around and around and around because you're not holding on to the faith. You're not allowing faith to be established in your heart. And then, therefore, He's allowing these demonic forces of the discouragement to steal that hope. And all of a sudden, our heart changes. And guess what? We lose out. Because when you lose hope, you're dead. Hope is our lifeline. I truly believe that. When you have hope and you see people with hope, there's so much joy and there's peace because they know something tangible is going to happen in their life. It's established within us. But when we lose it, it's like your life is like invisible. It's like you're walking around like a zombie. Amen? I mean, can we all attest to that? I mean, I've seen it in my own life where I've had things in my heart that were established, and I allowed the discouragement to come in, and all of a sudden, I felt like there was a loss. And you know what? God turns around things for the good because we trust Him, but He wants us to battle and war against it and say, you know what? You can resist the enemy, and it will flee. Well, the enemy, I feel, is discouragement, because that's what contradicts hope. And God's saying, hold on to the hope, because I put it in you and I established it. He who started a good work is faithful to complete it, and that good work is your hope. God will establish it, and He will complete it in our life. But we have to remember, it is an appointed time for everything. Everything has a season, and we got to keep renewing our mind with that and keep resting on that. And with that, we won't lose hope. It will be established, and he'll see the character that we're building because we're working our own salvation. You know, and when those thoughts start to creep in with discouragement because we're not seeing anything happen in the natural, let it go. Just remember this. Always look in your heart, because that's where he says, he goes, my eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for that broken and contrite heart. Well, it's broken, you know, because of the fact that we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting, but it establishes patience, like Pastor was saying. Patience is established when we wait on him. It's not established when we're going ahead and we're trying to make things happen out of an anxiety and anxiousness and excitement. He just wants us to hold back the reins, continue to brew in that hope. And you know what? I know that I know that I know in our hearts, he'll stir it up and we'll be moved. He says, I'll move you by my spirit. And that spirit is within the heart where we got, you know what? I got to do this now. You know, there's times where we don't have that inspiration and all of a sudden we're starting to move in it, thinking from our mind that we have to do it to make something happen. And God's saying, no, I'm not in that. I'm in this. I'm in the inspiration and the unction and that movement that I'm pushing it through in your heart. That's him. That's God. That's the Spirit of God that, you know, that moves us to achieve things. But when we're thinking with our mind and we're trying to reason it and we're saying, you know what, if I don't act on this, I don't do something, then something bad's going to happen or it's not going to get done. That's not God. That's where we got to take a step back, sit down and have the patience again to rest, knowing that God will eventually move us in what we have to do. I'm going to call on Pastor Sam because I know time's coming.
You know, Tim said something very valuable. And come on up. That's it. We got it. To be moved. And, you know, as we war within ourselves, God honors that because we're working out our own salvation. Our salvation is to obtain our hope. As we war against those thoughts in our heart that cause that depression to make us lose hope, then we are faithful and just. Because we're faithful and just, it causes us to be righteous in the eyes of God. As we become righteous in the eyes of God, he leads a righteous man's footsteps. So you might not quite understand, am I supposed to be here or am I supposed to not be here? But he leads a righteous man's footsteps. I believe that all we have to do is be righteous in his eyes, war out our own salvation, cast down the imaginations that exalt, hold on to the hope, be grateful, not be anxious for anything, and he'll establish us and it'll make it happen.
Amen. Really quick. It's all about the journey. That's what it's all about. You're going to find God in the journey. That's where you have to find him. Pastor said earlier, God's trying to create a character in you. And it's his character. It's not your, it's his character. He's trying to create his character inside of you. See, in the world, you're going to have troubles. Listen, the world's going to beat us up, chew us up, spit us out. Troubles, problems, heartache. Look, your hope might just be to get peace. We're not talking about building an empire. We're talking about your hope might just be to have peace. You might not have had peace for years and years and years, and you turn to every single thing in the world. You turn to drugs, alcohol, whatever, everything. You tried everything for peace, and nothing worked. And now you're hooked. You're hooked on the world, and you can't find peace. So you're crying out, where do I find hope? Where do I find this peace? Where do I find this joy? What are you talking about? It begins and ends with the journey. It begins and ends with the love of God. See, the scripture says this, let not your heart be troubled. He says, you let not your heart be troubled. You let not your heart be troubled. You have the power to let not your heart be troubled. You have that power. God has given it to you through relationship. See, we're talking about religion versus relationship here. You can have a shell of a religion and say, I go to church, I believe in God, but a relationship says this: God, please help me, Father. Help me, Father. Please help me. And you keep crying, and you keep crying, and you don't turn to anything else but God. And every day you cry out. Every day you cry out. You look anywhere else but to God. If you keep looking to God, if you keep saying, God, I don't even know who you are, just show me right now, please. I believe I have to find some other way to find peace. Your hope might just be to have peace. And then God will build it from there. You'll find a relationship with God in the journey. That's where you find it. And when you cry out to God and cry out to God and cry out to God, He will answer you. I promise. Just give Him a chance. He's sitting there seeing what you're going through, seeing you're struggling, knowing it, feeling it. He's inside of every single one of you. God Himself is inside of every single person that can hear my voice and who can't hear my voice. And all you got to do is awaken them and say, hey, look, please, I tried everything. I tried everything. And now I'm saying, please, Father, help me. He will answer you. And listen to me. Get on these messages in this church, because this is the truth. You can't battle lies without truth. You're going to keep following the same pattern after the same pattern after the same pattern, because it says this: be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is no other way to get help but by be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the only way to salvation. It's the only way to repentance. It's the only way to peace. The reason why you keep following the same cycle over and over and over is because you have not changed the way you think. You keep thinking you can figure it out. You can handle it. You can work it out. You keep turning to other gods, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. You're turning to other gods. And He's saying, I will have no gods other than me. The very moment you really cry out to God, the very first time you really cry out, watch what happens. And get on glorytothenations.org and get the truth inside of you that you can battle these lies that are killing you. Your hope right now is just to have a little bit of peace. That's your hope. Not to build, just a little bit of peace. Crying out, saying, I haven't had peace in years. Well, here it is. It's right here. God's giving it to you today. Just accept it. Cry out to Him.
That concludes our Wednesday evening. Stay tuned.
Dun, dun, dun. No. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.